See everybody, and April Fool. I know that's a little bit early, but past spring for last couple weeks, and then now we're back to winter. So it's the way March is. So we have to deal with it. It's read in Psalms, the 37th chapter. David repeated that I am old. And was young at one point. And we all go through this spell that we get older and we sometimes become a little cranky as we get older. I'll usually pick on the women on Wednesday nights, so now it's the men's turn. So it leaves you and me out less. So the rest of them are the cranky ones. So. But in 1993, a movie came out, Grumpy Old Men. Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon made the movie, and they were a couple that they got along, but they didn't get along. They had their difficulties with one another. And if you ever watch a movie, it they get comical, and the things that they are trying to do and really show how cranky they can be at times. Well, when we seen the movie, especially back in 93, a lot younger at that time, and I thought, well, I hope I don't get that way and become like one of them. One writer that I've seen talking about this movie says, when I was a young man, a young preacher, many hours of discouragement came directly from the carelessness of cranky old men. How I pray that I will never be the source of such discouragement to my younger brothers and sisters in Christ. I must recognize, however, that unless I am careful, unless we are all careful, that is exactly what we can become. And I've seen individuals, as they get older, become cranky and as they get older. And we got to be careful that we don't get in that situation. We need to avoid it. And of course, to God's word, we need to be an encouragement, not a discouragement to those who are younger. The way sometimes we come across, and we'll discuss this here in a couple minutes, how we behave and how we talk at times and how we come across. Cranky old men, why? What can I do about it? Well, one thing, we may not always know why we become cranky. I can look at myself and I can answer that question and say, I don't know. I maybe come up with some theories where maybe I get cranky at times. Sometimes I get up in a cranky mood. And sometimes there's something that just don't seem to trigger it, but it just happens. And it's nothing specific that's gone wrong. You just feel intimidated by and irritated by the whole world that's going on around about you. That's just not a problem with the old men, but sometimes angry young men will grow up that way. And we got to be careful that as we grow up, we don't become like the cranky old men that we have seen. As Christians, however, we must never tell ourselves, that's just the way I am. You ever hear people say that? Well, that's just the way I am. Well, if you're that way, you need to put a stop to it. You need to put an end to those things. The fact that if I have a disposition that is not what it ought to be, I need to repent of it. I need to identify the problem that I must change, that problem that I have. If I'm getting cranky, I need to understand, I need to put a stop to it. Because I can discourage younger members in the body of Christ by being cranky and coming across the wrong way. Have we ever known cranky people in our lives? Ever like to deal with them sometimes? I always come across, I guess Les is getting in trouble again. So, but the fact is, we got to be careful how we talk to one another. And there is a difficulty that we sometimes run into. In Philippians 4 chapter, verses 11 through 13, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer needs. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Paul is telling the church of Philippi there's been times he had difficulties. There's times that he was hungry. But all the problems that Paul went through, he learned to be content with what he had. And a lot of times we don't feel that way. We don't take that idea we need to be content with what we have. And when we don't have that attitude, we become cranky. We complain, well, I don't have this, I don't have that. We're struggling or we're having difficulties. I don't understand. This government I don't know what to say about them. They're just crazy and things on that order. But we need to learn to be content. We need to learn to accept sometimes the things that goes on around about us. We need to learn that we need to accept the blessings what God has given to us. He's given to us the things that we need within this life. Not what I want, but what I need. And that's what Paul was trying to get across to the Philippians at this time, that he was happy with what he had at that point. Talking to somebody the other night in a little Bible discussion, I said, well, when I was 16, 17 years old, wasn't dating anybody at that time. I thought, well, I don't think I'll ever get married, and I'm going to pray to God. I want to be like Paul. Well, ended up getting married, which Paul never got married as far as I know, but ran into some difficulties and some problems, maybe problems like Paul would have had at that time. And you'd get a little discontent. And you get a little cranky about, oh, I can't make enough to support my family. I'm trying to do what I can to get ahead. But then you finally, as you get older, you realize, I was lucky. I was blessed by God. I had just what I needed. That's it. I had a car that ran, and I had a car and a place to live in that covered my family up from the weather. To be able to come to church services as much as I could at that time. I had a job, had difficulties at times at that place, but the fact is we made it through. We maybe worked 2 weeks and off a couple weeks, laid off, and unemployment in those days, I'm not going to say what year, it wasn't very good. I could have became cranky. And as I got older, it became crankier, meaner. But at the same time, I had to learn to be content with what God has given to me. I need to grow. And we men especially struggle with this. And the fact that, like Paul taught, husbands, love your wives, be not bitter towards them, in Colossians, the third chapter, verse 19. The fact that we sometimes take that crankiness and bitterness out on our family. And we need to avoid that. Also, Solomon wrote in Proverbs 16, chapter, verse 32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Can you control your anger? Can you control your crankiness that we have at times? Or do we just shoot off our mouths and say something and hurt somebody else's feelings? As we talked this morning in our adult Bible study, the fact that we need to learn to control ourselves and treat our families and be honest, but to do it in the state of love, that you care about them. Not rudely, but we do it in a way that we show that we're concerned about them or we love them as we ought to. Again, the fact that we have the aging of our bodies. Ever get disgusted? I'll be the first one to admit, as you get older, arthritis starts sinking in. There are things I can't pick up like I used to. Because my fingers swell up. I'm standing there trying to pick up a little tiny pill. And I'm standing there. I just sweep it off to the side. That's the only way I can get it. Yeah, I get cranky about it. I say, why? Why can't I do this? I used to be able to do this and that. I can't do that anymore. Used to be, I could maybe work out there with Eric for the whole day and never feel anything. Now, I've been out there going for my sixth year out there. But now, as I'm getting older, about 4 hours, I'm ready to go home and sit on the couch. And then when I do sit on the couch, I can't get back up. I struggle. And your knees and your legs start cramping up and things in that order. I can't do like I used to. And sometimes we have aching pains that we never had before. Do we feel like that sometimes? There isn't a cure for this. It's just a part of growing older. Wise man described this as when the difficult days come, the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. Think about it. Yeah, I sleep in. I always thought when I'm going to retire, I get to sleep in a little bit and I have to get up at 5, 6 o'clock. Well, guess what? I wake up at 4 o'clock without any alarm clock. I just get up, and I try to toss and turn, try to go back to sleep, and I give up, and I stay up. That's old age. You got into a routine that sometimes you can't do away with them anymore. We should note that just because these are difficult days, that they don't really hold less pleasure in them. But the fight thing is, sometimes we can enjoy the pleasure of our lives as we get older. I see these little kids come in the door, and I've been noticing myself lately, I'm getting a bigger kick out of them every year. I see them come in the door. I mean, they're so cute, being so small and look like little people, and they give you pleasure. They give you enjoyment that sometimes we get away from and forget what they can do to cheer you up. And those things that we need to take and took for granted, sometimes we need to stop and take a good look around about us and smell the roses, as they used to say, and notice the things that are there before our eyes, and enjoy them while we have the opportunity, instead of being in misery and self-pity. Oh, I can't do this now. I can't do nothing. I can't go everywhere I want to go. I can't take any trips. I can't drive that far. And we sometimes wallow in that pity and misery within our everyday life. And we need to quit it. We need to put a stop to it. Paul told the Titus to teach the older men to be sound in faith, in love, and in patience. Titus 2:2. What did Paul tell Titus to do? To teach the older men to be sound in faith, in love, and patience. In other words, being an older man, and a few of us in this congregation, we still have the opportunity to learn. We still have the opportunity to grow in our faith and trust in God as we ought. How to treat others. How we ought to treat our wives or children and grow up in that. The fact that we need to expand our horizon as a member of Christ. Also in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16, it says, I don't show love and patience if I have a cranky and bitter disposition. Paul told the Thessalonians to rejoice always. What are they supposed to do? Rejoice always. Well, I know there's times that sometimes we just don't find something that we can be happy about. But really, when you sit back and think about it, and you really look as we should, you can find enjoyment in life. I always got called in the office one time down at Banner. He says, why do you make a joke about everything? He says, no matter how bad a day we got, you always got some funny comment to make. I said, why not? Because there are some things that are really, when you sit back and think about it, are funny that we've done or we're doing, and we can laugh about it. I'll get myself in trouble here, telling on myself. But we had a pipe that was plugged up. And I once took a hose, and I thought, I'm going to jam that hose down that pipe, unplug it. Well, I kept shoving it down in, shoving it in. And finally, when I went to pull it back out, it wouldn't come. And they said I looked like I was a bird trying to pull a worm out of the ground at that point. And I was just standing there up above this box, just pulling like crazy, just stretching like a worm would if a bird was trying to get it. And the boss came around and says, do you think you put that hose down into the motor? I don't think I've done that. I don't think I stuck that much hose in there. Well, he had the maintenance man go down, take the top off the motor. Guess where the hose is? Wrapped around the motor. And, I mean, it was aggravated at first, but we got a good laugh out of it. I mean, those things, you see the enjoyment out of it in some degree. And you get a kick out of it. And believe me, couldn't live that down until somebody else messed up bad enough that we could pick on him for a while. But rejoice always. Enjoy life. Let's enjoy what God has given to us and experience the things he has done for us. Enjoy these little ones while we have the opportunity. Watch them grow. And nurture them the way we ought. And be with them until the day we die or until they get married off and have their own families and enjoy what little bit of time we have with them. Peter urged all the Christians in their faith to rejoice with joy inexpressible in full glory. 1 Peter 1:8. Question is, do you have joy inexpressible? You got so much joy in your heart that you can't express all of it? Why not? What's the difficulty? What's the problem? Peter said that's the way we ought to be. We should allow our heart to be not to be dominated by crankiness, but in joy. and joy that is inexpressible. A changing world. Yeah, we have difficulty as we get older of, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, changing world. Not realizing how things come about. Well, okay, I guess I've flipped one frame. So excuse me. A changing world. Every generation observes changes in customs, morality, attitude, every passing year that are different from what they once were. When I think about times past, and as I've grown up and out of high school, and you turn the TV on and you see certain things at that time, and they're nothing compared to what you see on TV now. I've gotten to the point where I can't even stand to turn the TV on just long enough to hear the sports and see what the weather forecast is going to be. And the rest of it, I kind of block off. Maybe watch a sports basketball game once in a while, but baseball game, maybe, football game. But really, a lot of it don't bother me anymore. It's a changing world. I've heard things last year in my high school on a school bus that none of us as seniors at that time come out of the mouth of a first grader. That's just one boy talked. I know that every single one of us, when this first grader talked about what mommy and daddy did at home, every one of us got beat red from embarrassment. Look how things have changed throughout the years. How much things have changed. Wasn't a computer in my day. Wasn't a cell phone. You had party phone. You get on the phone and you ask somebody to get off and so you can call somebody else up or a doctor up or whatever. And you had to beg them to get off the phone because they were just chattering away. I hear my mom once in a while, Betsy, I know you're still on the phone. You haven't hung up yet. I didn't hear that click. And she says, you don't need to hear our conversation. And finally you hear that click, and then you can talk. That's the way it was. Now, I remember a cell phone when it first came out. You had to carry a bag with you and pull out the phone, the antenna on it, and like a big walkie-talkie, in a sense. Then it got to the point now you got a phone so small now that you just maybe even talk through your wrist to talk to somebody. And I seen all these things on Dick Tracy. And I thought, oh, this has never happened. Oh, guess what? Things have changed. And there's a lot of things that are still changing within our lifetime. The book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 7, verse 10. Do not say, why were the former days better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. We got to realize things do change. Things do improve. And the fact that we need to understand that. And change is never easy for us as we get older. My first computer came out and you had to dial tone, had to call for certain numbers. And I listened to some of the other guys that had computers before I did. And the mistakes they made, I told my son when I first got it, do not call these certain numbers because I can't afford the phone bill. Well, when they got caught using Banner's internet down there and using their phone, they had about a $1,500 phone bill that Banner couldn't justify. Well, they found out these two individuals, one of them was the boss, they were chit-chatting with somebody else, and they had to end up paying that bill. So I learned through them that I don't want to do this. I can't afford that. I learned. I grew. And the fact that I listened and tried to improve in my growth in life, you learn not to do certain things by listening to what others go through at this point. There may be some things that improve. It really does improve. Medicine has gotten better throughout the years. They can handle cancer better than what they used to. I think about my grandmother having cancer, and she hung on for 3 years going through radiation and chemo. She went from 280 to lucky to weigh 75 pounds when she passed away. And she got burnt quite a few times. Now, they don't do that. Sometimes you swallow a pill and it takes care of some cancers. Really come a long way. There are other diseases that they take care of now. Things have improved in that way. Especially in the technology, it's good to have internet, but at the same time, it can be evil. Facebook, nice to chat with somebody without picking up a phone, and we talk to one another. But at the same time, it's wrong. It's evil at times. It's how people use it. The difficulty that we need to understand. The reality is some things do improve and some things get worse. But that change is never easy. Sometimes we get older. It can be irritating. It can be to the point where it can drive you up the wall. I know when I play my laptop to do lessons and PowerPoints, sometimes I got to fight with that thing to do certain things. And other times, it's just nice and smooth and falls right into place. We need to understand that when we discourage young people about things changing in life, that we do not discourage them in the things that are going on, like in health or in certain activities. We need to, in Philippians, the second chapter, verse 15, says, I need to shine as light as mist in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Now, I can't do that by being cranky or overcritical of the things that goes on. As I say, the internet can be a blessing. It can be a help. And we need to use it as that way and not misuse it. Not realizing how they come across. This is the right slide now. Several weeks ago, an individual that I was talking to said he lost his voice. And he came back, and for quite some time, his voice continued to be rough and gravely. And during that time, he was having a home Bible study with college kids, and his wife and him were speaking and with his voice, and they said it was so bad that it impaired what the kids were listening to because he couldn't say it the right way. And he had a harder time because he was trying to joke with them at times, but because his voice was being coarse, as it was, it sounded pretty bad. Sounded like he was screaming and yelling at him. And they were taking it the wrong way. And sometimes we do that. Sometimes we do come across the wrong way by the way we talk, how loud we talk, how straightforward sometimes we get to be. I use the example years ago that the fact that one guy got out of high school. His wife came to see him down at the mill. He says, what do you think about my wife? I said, well, she's yours, so I'm not concerned about her. He took that as an insult. And I was like, I didn't mean anything from it. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. That didn't go down too good either. But the thing is, I'm trying to be honest. I'm not interested in her. I'm glad you are. But try to talk to him that way and learn how to talk to people coming out of high school and not insult them, trying not to. It was rough. And again, we sometimes come across, we don't realize how we come across at times. And that's one thing I hate about texting, because you don't always realize how you're coming across when you text people. And we need to be careful of that. Paul also taught in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, as we act with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, we need to be there for one another. We need to be long suffering. We need to help them in their time of need. And we do that because we need to be humble and be careful how we say things to one another and encourage them to do what's right. And that's something that we don't do sometimes as we get older, because we don't always realize how we come across. So let's be careful with that. And then finally, grasping for lost respect and influence. As we get older, younger men step into roles that we once had. That's how it ought to be. And according to Paul, as he told Timothy, in 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, and verse 2, the things that ye have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Mentioned Brother Earl this morning in our adult Bible study, how he set an example of being here no matter how bad he felt. And he set a good example on that. But also at the fact that he got a little bitter at times about not being able to stay singing anymore. And it upset him that he wasn't capable of doing that. And I understand that to some degree. The fact that as I'm getting older, I'm finding out that I can't reach certain notes anymore. And some of you probably see me put my finger up to my ear, I'm pushing in because, man, I really sound like I'm out of tune. That's how bad it's getting. But the fact is, I still try. And if Earl was capable of doing it, he would have still tried. And sometimes when we see younger men, we get a little upset at some degree. We get a little cranky. But at the same time, because we feel like we're being left out, when we sit back and really think about it, we're not. We need to help them. We need to be there by their side and encourage them to keep coming and keep improving and trying to do what God wants us to do. Our role changes at workplace, in the home. There's some jobs I can't do anymore that I had to put away and put off to the side. And that's a realization that you are getting older. It hurts. Because you like to think, and your body tells you, I can't do this, but my mind telling me, hey, I'm 18. I can do this. It don't work that way. And we need to understand that we need to feel not unappreciated or neglected or disrespected, but that we can be a help. We can guide the younger men in doing what they need to be doing and increasing their talents as they ought. We need to be that way. Think of 1 Samuel, and if you ever have time, read chapter 17 through 31. That happened to Saul. Saul was a great king. He went to battle, won a lot of battles. But here's this young man by the name of David. and people started singing songs. Saul killed his thousands, David killed his 10,000. And they got underneath Saul's skin a little bit. And they got to the point where Saul was so jealous of David. On several occasions, he would ask David to come and play the harp and then throw a spear at him, trying to kill him. We don't need to be that way. We need to have respect and things in that order to our younger men that are trying to do what's right. In 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, in verse 5, the fact that we are to respect those who are older than us. And we need to work with them and to respect what they're trying to teach us. It says in 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all ye be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, giveth grace to the humble. And we need to be that way. And we need to find out that we are trying to do what God wants us to do. Yeah. Do we get lost and we lose respect and influence? Yeah, sometimes we do. If the right individuals we're working with and guiding them with in accordance to God's word, we realize we didn't really lose respect or influence. We may seem that way. We may look at it that way at times. We need to be careful about that and realize we are still a help to the congregation. We can speak up and make some comments within the class, help guide and help the class teachers. I can help those who are leading singing. I know a couple times a few of them come to me and ask me, you know this song? And yeah, and they ask me how to start it, and I'll help them start it. And that's good. I'm still being useful. And the fact that we can do that and we can guide them to improve themselves. We can help them within their lessons if they're trying to speak. We can give them the guidance how they need to improve as they go along. It's one thing I liked about Marie when she was alive. When I spoke, I asked her, okay, criticize. And she had a nice little list. She said, well, you use this term too much. You need to stop it. You need to do this. And I took it as a corrective criticism. And that's what I like. And I hope the young people that are trying to speak will take corrective criticism and trying to help improve. And that's one thing about Brother Ping as he comes. He does try to help us learn how to do things in a proper way. And that's, we need to take advantage of that as much as possible. What must I do? When I was young, some of the discouragement that was brought on by those I perceived as being cranky old men concerning things that they believed. In some cases, as the year going by, I come to appreciate, even agree with some of the things that they troubled them. The wise man taught in Proverbs 22 and verse 17, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. In other cases, what was so important to them proved to be nothing more than a pet opinion and personal preference and peculiar perspective upon no scriptural foundation. Ecclesiastic 9, verse 17, words of the wise spoken quietly should be heard rather than a shout of a ruler of fools. I look back on the times up down at Powhatan Point preaching full time. There's an older individual, and I try to give him respect as much as I could. But when there was a visitor within the congregation at that time, he was always trying to stir up something in Bible class. And I look back at it now and thought, you know, he was a, I hate to say a pain at times, but at the same time, he didn't realize he was helping me. Because I went home, studied a little bit harder, trying to think of things he may come up with and be prepared for. And it made me study harder. Made me open my mind up. How is he going to twist this? You know, and that's what I did. And it helped me at that time. There's always a blessing in what takes place and what happens. But again, what I must not do is hold and being grumbling and criticizing what somebody might say to me, but the fact that I may use that to the best of my ability to help me improve. We can turn those things around. We can help. We can improve. And sometimes it don't shout, seems like that, but you'd be surprised as you get older what can happen. The lesson here this morning is for those, all of us really, because there are some grumpy old women too, as much as there are grumpy old men. But the fact that we all need to quit being grumpy and critical all the time and try to do what we can to improve, to get better. And always look at the good things that are being given to us by the hand of God, in a sense. It can help us. It can help us improve. We can get better. But we got to being cranky old men like these two were in that movie. If you haven't seen the movie, go ahead and watch it sometime and see sometimes how we do act at times and try to avoid being like them. And they had two or three movies out, I think, if I remember right. And they got better as each movie got on. So they weren't quite as cranky and grumpy as they were in the first one. So they learned to get along. So we need to be that way as Christians. If you're here this morning and have not yet obeyed the will of God, you must hear his word, you must believe, you must repent of your sins. Confess by mouth confession that Christ is the Son of the living God. The fact that we are to be baptized by immersion, buried with him in a watery grave, rose up as a new creature, and if the snow does stick, we'll be as white as that snow out there. Think about it. But there's one more step. You've got to live a faithful life to death to receive heaven as your home. Maybe one here this morning that need help by prayers, realize that you're not living the style of life you should and you need help, come up. We'll go to God in prayer. And we'll also try to get the congregation to realize your need and help you get through those problems that you're facing. And that we can all encourage one another to do what's right. Let's quit being grumpy, complaining. Let's be a help. And that's one way we get to heaven. Think about those things. Do something about it before it's eternally too late for your soul as we stand and sing that song, Invitation.